Well, take your handout there, please. We'll come back to another lesson on the Holy Spirit, the third of 10 lessons. It's amazing how much territory we've covered, really, when you stop and consider it. Now 23 lessons, and all of these lessons dealing with the Trinity. The first 10 dealing with the Father, God the Father. The second 10 dealing with God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now three lessons into our study of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have seven more rounding out the 30. And then we'll have a review week. And we actually have a review week, 2 weeks after this, I believe is how it falls, after the fifth week of the study. And then after the 10th week is the way it works. So here in the note, let's read the couple of paragraphs under the heading Main Truth, Central Scripture, and Outline. We're thinking tonight about the Holy Spirit is truth. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind of God. Scripture calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. We'll see that in these readings here in just a moment. He, remember, the Holy Spirit's not an it. We know that, don't we? He, the Holy Spirit, reveals, teaches, reminds, and guards believers in truth. It is because of the Holy Spirit's work that we have the Word of God to read, study, and live by. The Holy Spirit directed each of the biblical writers who recorded the truth of God in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Bible. We would not have it if the Holy Spirit had not inspired it. And He is the author. Writers, human writers, penned it, but God is the ultimate author of the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is the one of the three in the Trinity that is said to be responsible for that. In the beginning, next note, God spoke everything into existence. His Word created life and order, and everything was very good, as it says in Genesis 1:31. Then the crafty serpent, Satan, asked the Bible's first question. First question in the Bible was from him. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And you find that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And so Satan questioned God's word and God's character. And he has continued the attack ever since. That is a profound truth. Satan attacks God and his word. He questions the truthfulness of God and the truthfulness of God's word. And that's what's in that question, isn't it? Yea, hath God said? That's a challenge of the truthfulness of what God said and the accuracy of what God said and the authority of what God said. All of that's implied in that question. Yea, hath God said? And of course, God had said that. And God has all authority to say what He wants to say, and He did. And God is a God of faithfulness and integrity, and He said exactly what was true, that in the day that they would eat that tree, they would surely die. And you know what? They ate and they died. Spiritually, they died. So, truthful statement and a real truth He had spoken. But it's under attack, and it's always been so. Pilate, you remember, questioned Jesus when there was that mock trial. What is truth? Let's go to that passage. Hold your finger right there. Let's go to John 18. That is a remarkable passage. We're thinking about truth, and that is one that we should highlight in our minds, if not in our Bibles at least in our hearts about truth. And I want us to read the verse before that in verse 37 and 38 of John 18. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, that is Christ, art thou a king then? That was brought to our attention when Matt got up and made his comment about king. He was a king. He is a king. Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. And isn't that just like the world today? Pilate was a voice for the world at large. What is truth? What's true for you might be true for you, but it's not true for me. That's the attitude of the world. And also in that question of Pilate, what is truth? It's not stated, but it's strongly, it's kind of, you read the sense of the question, it's like, what difference does it make? Truth, who cares about truth? Pilate certainly didn't. Pilate is like most people today. You see this in public life, you know it. And what is it I'm talking about? People are not interested in what's true or what's false. They just want to know what works. And if a lie works, tell it. If truth will work in this situation, well, go ahead and tell it. But it's pragmatism. That's what rules the day. Amen? It's true. It is so true. So his attitude, just think of that, 2,000 years or so thereabouts, he asked that question. What is truth? What is truth? There's no absolute truth. Oh, is he wrong? And he has found out since then he was so wrong to question that. Now, the biblical answer to the question, what is truth, is that truth is God's expression of himself. The ultimate truth is God. Christ, you know, said, I am the way, the truth. Truth embodied. The way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, he said that, as you know. So that's a way of thinking of truth, God's expression of himself. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Here's a simple definition. Truth is reality. It's what's real as opposed to what is fake or unreal. Truth is opposed or opposite of what's false. But there's also the sense of truth being opposite of what is not real or imagined or something that's counterfeit. Truth is real. And we are people of the truth, and God is the God of truth. He is the source of all truth. So this is an important subject. God's the author, source, determiner, standard, and final judge of all truth. That's another loaded sentence, isn't it? The author, as we've said, he put it in his word, it's all truth. While we're in John, you're right there in 17. Turn back a chapter. John 17. Here's another one to underline in our Bibles. If you like to underline or circle or star or put an arrow beside, here's one I think deserves it. If you mark in your Bible, good place to mark it. John 17:17, Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What a statement that is. It doesn't say thy word contains truth. And you have to hunt and peck and look and search and find where it is, like the liberals want to teach us. No, it is all truth. Whatever the Bible says is accurate. Now, it does record statements in here, as we all know, where lies are told, but the lies are truthfully recorded. You see what I'm saying? There are lies that are found in here that people say or insinuate or try to pawn off, but those are just recorded truthfully, accurately. That's what I'm saying. So thy word is truth. It's all true. It's all dependable. It's all reliable. God's word, all truth. There's a verse, trying to remember if it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. Let's turn to that one. I know we're bouncing around, but these verses are not in your notes. And I'm thinking about them. Here it is. Yeah, it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. I should know that. I knew it was the Awana theme verse, but I couldn't remember if it was 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15, it's the Awana theme verse. And we had that here for many, many years. Great program. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That phrase, the word of truth, is a designation of all Scripture, isn't it? It's called the word of truth because it's true in its entirety, in all of its parts, in all of its teachings. It's all true. And we need to rightly divide it or accurately handle it, interpret it correctly. Here's a thought for you, as we've just read that verse. I think it's good for us to think about these things. How is it, if the Bible is true, absolute truth, and basically everyone who has a Bible has the same scriptures, translations will differ slightly from one to another. And then you have, for example, like Bill, we've been looking at some of the references to the Jehovah's Witness Bible, which is a terrible translation, not a good translation that panders to their doctrine rather than true translation of the Bible. But what I'm saying is Christians who claim to be Christians, and in fact are Christians, they have the same Bible we do, maybe a slightly different translation, maybe a modern translation, maybe the King James or even an older translation than that. How is it we come up with so many different kinds of beliefs in different churches? Here's why. Shoddy interpretation. That's just the simple bottom line of it all. You wonder how can people come up with so many different interpretations when they have the same book? That's the answer. Because they do not rightly divide it. They do not interpret it in light of its historical context, its grammar, its words, all of that, bringing that into bear and carefully comparing Scripture to Scripture. If you had people doing that, there would be far less disagreement among denominations, and you know, even within denominations you have difference of, well, it wouldn't be that way if everybody would just study the Bible, study it carefully, and let the Bible say what the Bible says. And of course we can always think that our interpretation is right. Now I'm not saying that our interpretation is always 100% accurate. Interpretation is not infallible. Let me say that. The Scriptures in their original languages is infallible, without error. But anytime you have the human element in interpretation, there can be and will be something that's not perfect about that. But nonetheless, the Bible itself is all truth. And that's important. Now, in the handout here, you see a couple of main truths. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as the truth. Let's look at those scriptures. Time is running out on us. Has run out on us. Let's look at these. My goodness. I just want you to see in John 14. In verse 16, I'm just going to comb through and just read some scriptures, and we'll just be a couple of minutes. John 14, 16, Jesus saying these words, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Then we go to chapter 15 of John and verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me," Christ says. He will testify of me. "And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." And then if we go over to chapter 16 and look at verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." So this has to do with the Spirit being called the Spirit of truth. And also it highlights the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. That one of his main roles, functions, ministries is to teach us. And even before teaching us, his ministry was that of inspiring Scripture or revealing. So you have the whole process is under the control. It's an area of ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth, and then it's recorded in the process called inspiration. So you have the content of Scripture, that's revelation. Then the process is inspiration. And we have scriptures on that. We just ran out of time, didn't get to go to it. 2 Timothy 3, 16 is a classic text. 2 Peter 1, about verse 21, that's another important text. But he reveals truth. He inspires the Bible, which contains the truth that God wanted us to have in the 66 books. And then he interprets the truth. He enlightens us and helps us understand it, because we couldn't if he didn't teach us, could we? There's so much scripture we just haven't had time to get to, but it's a marvelous ministry the Holy Spirit has. And Matt, if you'll come, let's sing us one last song. And then we'll